Acts chapter 9. When you hear Acts chapter 9, there's a certain character we think of, isn't there? Does anybody, what comes to your mind when you hear Acts chapter 9? Bible scholars. Saul turns to Paul, right? Saul of Tarsus turns to Paul. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight, okay? We're going to talk about a different disciple from Acts chapter 9 briefly. And this is like a longer message, but just part of it tonight. We know the story is that Saul is what? Bad. Thank you. Thank you. I actually didn't know what I was looking for. That was perfect. Saul was bad. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen is appointed a deacon to minister to the Hebrew people, right? And he's inspired. He's filled with the Holy Spirit and he preaches one message in his whole career. You know that? Stephen preaches one message. What's the result of his message? He's killed on the spot. Huh? How many people want to be preachers? And who is there encouraging this stoning of Saul? Of Stephen, right? Stephen preaches and they are filled with rage. It says they are blind. They are blind with rage because he's a simple man. But his wisdom is beyond theirs. Why? Because he's preaching the gospel, and that's it. He actually goes through the whole history of the nation of Israel and then brings them to the conclusion that Christ is the Messiah. It's an amazing message. But the person who is encouraging the stoning and the murder of Stephen is Saul. It says they all put their coats at Saul's feet, and he's offering to help them. He's telling them how to throw a fastball. He's coaching them and encouraging them. And then in chapter 8, it says that Saul was full and he was on a mission, and that mission was to destroy Christians. And then in chapter 9, you get to it, and it says that he was breathing out threatenings and murders against believers, anybody who would be proclaiming the name of Jesus. And in the middle of this, he's knocked off his horse, quite literally. By a light. He's traveling from Jerusalem to Damascus. Does anybody know how the distance between Jerusalem to Damascus? 400 miles. No, it's 222 miles to be precise. 136 if you're going to fly. So I recommend flying. So that's like here to New York City is 185 miles. So it's a similar distance. And this is, he's not just going to the next town over, right? He's not going to Hudson to find, he is traveling. And in the time period, he's not flying, he's not taking a car, he's not taking a train, he's taking a donkey, or he's walking, right? So it's a bit of an endeavor. 5 days maybe it would take to travel that distance. And he's going there for the purpose to round up these believers and throw them in prison and to make their life difficult. That's it. Make it difficult. And if that means end their life, that's fine with him. But he is interrupted, thankfully. He's interrupted and he is changed. But there's another guy I want to speak about here, verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, "Here I am, Lord." That one verse, we could just stay with that one verse. There was a disciple. A disciple. Wow. One disciple. And he was in Damascus. What do we know about this guy? Okay, we know he's a disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? We know that Jesus had disciples. He had his 12 disciples. Went down to 11 after Judas left. And these guys were, people who followed the teachings of Christ. That they ordered their life, not based on their own opinion or their own senses, but they ordered their life based on what Jesus taught. And they made disciples, and those disciples made disciples. And this is where we find this man, Ananias. He is a disciple. He is somebody who is ordering his life according to the Word of God. Not only is he one who listens to it, but he's one who obeys it. And his life is modeled or molded by the authority of the Word of God. That's a great definition for us as disciples. We are disciples of Christ also. We're just like Ananias. And we are people who have modeled our life. We have set our schedule. We have established our way of parenting. We have valued marriage. We have valued things based on what the Bible says. Isn't that radical? That's a wild way to live. But it's a very well established way to live. We are disciples today because there have been disciples every generation reaching back into the book of Acts. And we said this recently, it would be fascinating. Maybe in heaven we'll be able to see this, but to follow our spiritual heritage. And all of us end up back with these 11 guys somehow. Isn't that cool to think of? Like everybody, every person goes back to Adam and Eve, but every Christian goes back to these 11 disciples somehow. And these group of men in the book of Acts. Whose line are we? Isn't that a cool thought? But we are, nonetheless, disciples. Because the Bible to us is not just something we take off the shelf on Christmas and Easter and read the story, but it's something that we look to and we listen for something in it. You read the word with your ears open, listening for not just what you are understanding, but listening for what God can say to you in the word of God. He's not speaking any other way. There's no new revelation. It's all right here. If you want God to speak to you, find him in the Bible. That's how he speaks. It's established. It's done. There it is. It has two covers. Isn't that good? The front and a back means the end. This is complete. And we look through the Bible anticipating the voice of God. So we know about Ananias, he's a disciple. Second thing we know about Ananias is that he's a target of Saul of Tarsus. That he is someone that Saul is coming after. Why? Because Saul doesn't like Ananias? No, actually Saul maybe doesn't know anything about Ananias. He doesn't know his name. He doesn't know what he does for a living. He doesn't know where he lives. He doesn't even care. But he is a disciple. And therefore he is a target. It's true about us also that we are targets of the devil. He is against us. Don't be deceived by his, revealing himself as an angel of light. Don't be deceived like Edmund in the Chronicles of Narnia with the Turkish delights, right? They're not good. The next box doesn't arrive, right? It's not nice. Actually, the devil does not care about you. He doesn't know your name, maybe. You are a profile. You are a case file. You are something he is working against, not because of your heritage naturally, but because of your lineage spiritually, because you believe in Christ. So he's a target. But this is the point.